Okay, I'm here with Ewan Webster of Thesis Gold. He's going to walk us through a drill campaign update. They've just released the final results from their ranch program over there in the Tootagong region of northern BC. So I think that one thing that he and I have talked about in terms of Thesis is, you know, how do you create a kind of an effective visual narrative, so to speak, for people to follow along with the geological exploration that's taking place? And so I've kind of whipped up a slideshow, and so no guarantees of quality here. And if it's, you know, if things are bad, blame me, not you, and kind of thing. But just try to create like a bit of a, like I say, a visual structure to help people understand kind of the story that Thesis is building subsurface, because I think there's a lot of good things going on that seems like the market, I mean, just doesn't seem to be picking up on it, right? So I'll turn it over to you in a second here. But before I do, I mean, just always standard disclaimers, blue sky conversation. You know, we're not financial advisors or your financial advisors, right? So this is for entertainment purposes only. But Ewan, yeah, if I may, welcome to the show. And I'm just glad to, good to talk to you again. How are you?
Yeah, thanks, Matthew. Yeah, it's just great to be back. And thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't we, you know, this will be our first test of our technological prowess here today. But why don't we get up that slideshow that I, like I said, that I've kind of crafted here for us. So yeah, no, Ian will show it to us here, but I just thought we would go step by step through the major zones of exploration for Thesis at their ranch project. So we'll be going through the Thesis structural corridor. We'll hit up Thesis 2 and 3. We'll hit up Bingo. JK and Bonanza Ridge will be the kind of the core ones for today. And so, yeah, I just thought kind of step by step, we'll walk through what 2023 drill campaigns did for each of those different zones. Ewan, if you wanted to try to click through here now.
Yeah, perfect.
So Ewan, I just kind of have some talking points, just, you know, a 30 second or 1 minute sort of intro here. Do you just want to, those bullet points I have offered there, right? Just run through briefly, so this can be a bit of a bottle episode so people can understand Ranch on its own enough to understand what we're telling them in the coming slides.
Yeah, indeed. So ownership wise, I mean, we own the project 100%. We acquired it from the vendor in late 2020 and really built Thesis Gold, the original Thesis Gold, around the ranch project. And the vendor still holds a 2% NSR on the project, but as I said, you know, we own it 100%. The project, similar to our lawyers project adjacent to the south, I mean, it saw quite a lot of work in the initial discoveries in the 60s, a lot of work through the 70s and 80s, and probably about 30,000 meters of drilling. And what they identified back then was a very kind of robust high sulfidation epithermal system. And I think at the time, the thought was that these were isolated pods of mineralization, and they didn't quite understand the structural setting, etc. But the project, it didn't actually go into production, but you can see the road on the screen there. And this is the road that extends into the lawyers project. And they put this in back in the early 90s when what was the Cheney mine at the time was actually active on the lawyers project. And they basically, with an excavator and a truck, they trucked about and produced about 10,000 ounces of gold from what was effectively three large trenches that were maybe, you know, at the most 100 meters long and a few meters deep. The biggest one was at the BV zone. But that was actually the last ore that they ran through the Cheney mine when it was operational back in 1992, just because it was very high grade, right at surface, 10 plus gram material. And then it sat pretty dormant, with little bits of work here and there through the next kind of 20 years until we acquired it in late 2020. And we've completed about just under 70,000 meters, I think, of drilling on it now. And, you know, that work is focused on the Bonanza Ridge Zone, Thesis 2, Thesis 3, Bingo, BV. And at the same time, we've also been pretty diligent about making sure that we're conducting kind of property-wide exploration to try and realize the whole potential that exists on the ranch project. So, I mean, we've got property-wide soil sampling, rock sampling, ground and airborne geophysics, LIDAR, and, you know, just the complete suite of exploration tools. And that's really allowed us to develop organically a lot of our own targets. And out of that have come some fantastic discoveries, like JK Zone, the Steve Zone that you can see on the map there. And we've probably got about, and I say this all the time, but probably 20 kind of plus targets that share all of the same characteristics as the known zones of mineralization. So, in my mind, we're very much just getting going with the ranch project. And number of holes and meters that we completed in 2023, it's about 18,000 meters of drilling. I can't remember the number of holes off the top of my head. But a very successful program, and in the coming slides, we'll get into the details of what we accomplished through the 20 year 2023 and potential porphyry. I mean, this is really the blue sky at Ranch. I mean, there's a 40 square kilometer. Let me just basically, if you can see my cursor, it's this area here is probably 40 square kilometers where you can see all those occurrences that we've identified. And that is a large, structurally controlled epithermal field. We've really just, as I said earlier, just kind of scratched the surface on what the potential is here, but there's no way to create such a large system, high sulfidation system, without an underlying porphyry basically driving this whole thing. And I mean, it's some zones, Steve, for example, and Paddy, I mean, we've drilled hundreds and hundreds of meters of silica alteration, and you can imagine the amount of fluids that are required to create that volume of alteration. I mean, the system is expansive, and that's because it's just part of this larger porphyry system. And we've had a couple of targets that we test year after year, and revise those as we go. And we've not had any luck yet discovering where this porphyry is, but the Bingo Zone and in and around that area is certainly showing some very good indications that we might be vectoring in on where that potential location could be at depth.
And that's, we'll get into that. I just thought I'd give that as a little teaser there, that there is still lots of, not just the potential that from what you have as an epithermal system, but as you say, that blue sky potential. And looks like you say some grades from some assays, looks like it might, you might be kind of, as you say, vectoring in closer and closer as we speak. If you just want to move on here though, Ewan, so just the next slide. So yeah, well, I thought we'd start the Thesis structural corridor is kind of the meat and the meat or the heart of this land package. And so I thought I would just get you and or there's three slides here, you and just kind of talk through it. If you could see on the screen here, red dots are 2023 drill collars, right? And so you can kind of see what the work they've done in terms of trying to expand the footprint. And then if you look to the right there, that offset or the inset rather is the right-hand image is the inset blown up, looking at future targets as well. So maybe you know what, I'll just maybe that's just the intro for what this is, you. And if you wanted to move on to the next slide, because I thought that maybe I'll let you talk through with these in mind just briefly. If you look here, you and do you want to just when at your leisure, you and if you wanted to click through to the next slide as you're talking, but just start talking about what you've accomplished at Thesis 2 and Thesis 3 specifically, and I can shoulder tap you if I have to change, but somewhere in the conversation, switch gears to the next slide so people can get a sense of it. But what was your understanding of Thesis 2 and 3 before 2023? What did 2023 do for this zone? And maybe if you were so inclined, right, individual drill holes on the map, maybe you can point out where they were and what they accomplished for you in Thesis.
No, for sure. Yeah, and I think this map is an ideal place to start because as you said, the pre-2023 holes are in gray, and it's if we reduce that again to subsample of that to just the historical holes, what you would see is this very tight cluster you can see in here. That was basically all of the drilling at Thesis 3. At Thesis 2, similarly, it was a very small zone down here. And at Bingo, there was probably seven holes, I think, along this kind of western limb here, historical drilling. So it's very small, isolated zones of mineralization. And the background map here, which is important, is ground magnetics. And what you can see is the two kind of shades of color, really, that the hotter colors are magnetic highs, and the blues or magnetic lows. And you can see the drilling here is all centered along what is the transition from the these kind of hotter reds to the bluer lows. And basically this the blue lows are part of this much larger regional scale fault system that you can see from the orientation here is northwest oriented, and it extends for kilometers. So I mean, bear in mind we've only tested a fraction of this. And as you can see, we've only really tested one side of that thesis structural corridor. And the important thing is to look for the transitions from the highs to lows. You can see in the inset map here, we've identified some future targets where you can see highs to lows here again, and similar to the south. But that's the important thing is looking for those transitions, and they typically associated with silica alteration, and it's just provided like those big faults have basically provided pathways for fluids to come up, and those fluids contain gold mineralization. So the work that we've done in this area over the past few years is really taken those very small isolated zones and demonstrated that they're part of this much larger system with significant strike extent to it. And you can see that they're slowly starting to coalesce into one much larger zone. And there's obviously a lot more 2023 holes up near in the Bingo zone, and that was really our focus for 2023. It had historically a lot less drilling, and we wanted to really expand that footprint, and it's certainly extremely positive. So last year's program, very successful, thesis two and thesis three. Really most of that program, thesis three anyway, was testing a few deep targets, and you can see those here, with the 44 meters of about a gram, 30 meters of a gram, just over a gram subinterval, 39 meters from surface here, 2.4, 20, 25 meters at just under 3 grams. So some really good strong mineralization there, both at depth and near surface. But I'd say most of the objective from this last year's program was to continue defining near surface high grade mineralization that will help drive the economics of the project in our upcoming PEA, and less so on extending the mineralization to depth. Similarly, at thesis two, the mineralization is continued to, or our drilling continued to expand the mineralization to the south, extending the footprint here, headline hole 60 meters at just over 4.5 grams. And that was the this kind of second most southerly hole down here at thesis two. So a nice step out. Phenomenal results. Really looking forward to getting back in and following up on that. And I think Matthew's got that highlighted here, 60 meters of 4.5 grams, 271 meter gram meter product. So great result. I mean, certainly didn't expect such strong mineralization down there. The mineralization is likely offset down here to this, what we've called the future target, but you can see the transition come and the slight jog in the magnetics. We actually have all these a series of pads built down here to continue drilling when we get back to it this year. And the other important thing to note is that, we've got this future target to the west. And part of the reason that we've been focused on this eastern extent of the corridor is just topography. I mean, it's a big valley, and we're basically drilling on one of the benches on the eastern side down underneath the valley. So we need to start transitioning to the western side and drilling back basically towards the center of that valley. But a potential to really kind of fill this in over hundreds of meters of width. But at Bingo Zone, so this is the northern extent of the thesis structural corridor, and you're going to see here we've discussed thesis two, thesis three, and now we're looking to the northern end at Bingo. And this past year, we went back and started testing the eastern extent of the mineralization through this zone and had fantastic results. And you can see some of the headlines through here. These are all step out holes expanding the footprint of the mineralization. Bingo hole 24, which was the last results that we put out from the program, 20 meters, 8.5 grams gold, 40 grams silver and 1.7% copper. Fantastic result. That's the furthest easterly hole drilled at Bingo as well. And, you know, the adjacent hole, 30 meters of just under a gram. A lot of strong mineralization through here. The interesting thing about Bingo is it's the mineralization is a little bit different than we see in the other zones. Typically, the copper mineralization, most of the other zones, there's a general correlation with copper and gold. And the copper minerals are typically bornite and chalcopyrite. But at the Bingo zone, that's changed to energite and covellite. And those two copper minerals are typically associated with the deeper parts of high sulfidation systems, hotter magmatic fluids. And really what that points to is the potential source for or proximity to whatever is driving the whole thing, a porphyry potentially. Now we don't know, you know, that porphyry could be a few, you know, 500 meters below surface, but it could also be 3 kilometers below surface. But we're working on targeting that now and looking at all of our different data sets. They all pointing to this being a very strong area for that type of potential. So not only are the near surface grades great, that will continue to drive the economics, but also, you know, clearly, you can see here that there's a lot of upside to keep expanding this footprint and continue growing it to the north along a lot of these untested structures, but also just working on extending southwards towards Thesis 3. But the underlying blue sky there as well with the porphyry potential.
So I'll have you click through here, and yeah, to me, it, what I see here so far is just a quick summary is, you know, Thesis 2, Thesis 3, there was a lot of successful, you had step outs, but it was infilling and then confirmation of what was before. But with Bingo, you started to sort of kind of wrap your hands around a lot more that was previously unexplored sort of mineralization, right? You talked about, I mean, the easternmost one having a 1.8% copper or something out of 20 meters, right? And so, yeah, kind of two different, even though they're all along the same corridor, as you see here, kind of two different stories evolving between what you saw in Thesis 2, Thesis 3, and then from Bingo as well. Is that kind of a fair summary?
Great summary. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
And so the same thing, do you just want to talk through, I mean, I've created this little chart here, right, just the gram meter per ton, just to help people with their mental math a little bit, right? But do you just want to talk through where these were in Bingo?
Yeah, I mean, basically all of these holes, like all the strong mineralization is coming from this eastern limb over here, you know, where really it's just, that's the new story that's evolving at Bingo and came as a bit of a surprise this year. That I think very much is open, and we're going to continue to really focus at Bingo this year and going forwards.
And you have these, it's a bit of a disseminated thing where you have these pockets of high grade, but then they're situated within large, long spans of sort of low grade, more kind of bulk tonnage sort of approach, sort of mineralization too, right? So you have these headline numbers, right? I mean, 38.9 meters of 3.73, but then you have lots and lots and lots that didn't quite make it where, you know, the gram meter per ton, you know, 20, 30, 40, maybe not something that you're going to put as a headline for a drill campaign, but in the end, these are still important holes in terms of what they show for connectivity and how everything kind of comes together or strings together, right?
I mean, that's it exactly. I mean, I think it just demonstrates that there's good continuity in the mineralization along these structures. And, you know, the more drilling we do year after year, the more we really understand the controls on the mineralization, and that just helps us target in subsequent years. So really positive to see that continuity there. And certainly, as I said, you know, we're learning every year, and that is helping us target.
I almost see, will Bingo be included in the, so, you know, Thesis 2, Thesis 3, you know, you're going to be a lot of ounces from them in the upcoming mineral resource estimate. Will we see a lot of Bingo, or how much Bingo got upgraded to indicated and inferred, or measured and indicated?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of Bingo really is going to be in measured and indicated. You can see the drill density through here. But I think the majority of that will make it into inferred. Obviously, where there's denser clusters of drilling at Thesis 3 and at Thesis 2, a good portion of that's going to be an M&I category with, typically kind of 25 meter centers that define M&I for us. So yeah, a lot of bingo will make it in, but it'll probably be inferred.
Just for follow up there, I was going to ask you for drill spacing, 50 meters then for inferred or 100, or what's your QP working on there?
I think it's 50 meters, yeah.
Perfect. Well, there. So yeah, we've got thesis two, thesis three, and bingo. So the structural corridor, and so we'll take a step out here, and as Ewan switches over to JK, I believe. And so JK, you can see there in the bottom left, I've kind of tried to place it visually. It's roughly a kilometer, less than a kilometer away from the structural corridor, in between Thesis and Bonanza Ridge. And so same thing, I mean, they had their own little mini drill campaign here, right? I guess that's the when you're a large company with a large drill campaign, this is the benefit of that, is lots of different targets get a decent amount of meterage thrown at them, right? So same thing, right? Really, really impressive intervals. I mean, you look at what I've highlighted there, right? 20 meters of 2.93, or 70 meters almost of 1.28. But do you just want to, take it from where I left it off here for you, Ewan, and just introduce us to JK, maybe again, the historical exploration that was or wasn't done, and what Thesis is doing and what 2023 has done for Thesis in terms of, demonstrating mastery and improving understanding over what JK is.
Yeah, thanks, Matthew. And you can see again here the ground magnetics in the background. And the key theme here is developing, as you can see, the magnetic lows. And that is really the important aspect of our targeting process, looking for these mag lows that are typically associated with major structures, and the structures allowed for the fluids to come up. So JK, I mean, I think we drilled a few holes here in 2022, and then one hole maybe in 2021, the headline being 20 meters. I think it was 20 meters of 5 grams, and obviously you can see from JK1 this year, 20 meters of just under 3 grams, similar caliber of hole. And this year's objective was really to step out and continue testing this magnetic low to the north. And the one thing I would say about ranch and really, basically property-wide, there's very little outcrop, so a lot of these targets are blind. So we're using geophysics and geochemistry, very much so as our to help with our targeting. So working northwards, really good success. You can see hole 5 here, just 70 meters at about 1.3 grams, and that's a couple hundred meters north of JK1. So mineralization looks strong through this corridor. It appears to take a bit of a jog over to the east and continue on to the north. Looking forward to continue expanding the mineralization here, and similarly to the south. We missed it here in hole 8, but as I said, I think that's because it jogs over to the east and continues down to the south. JK is too early stage to make it into the resource, but one thing that I've tried to do is, whilst we're still being drilling our larger zones of mineralization that will make it into the resource, just trying to make sure that we have a pipeline of new targets and discoveries ready to go, to continue adding ounces and continuing to demonstrate how much upside there still is at the Ranch project. And JK is a fantastic example of that, where, a couple of years ago we made a discovery. We've now got kind of 10 to 15 holes into the zone, and it's really evolving into something significant. Similarly, another good example of that would be the Steve zone. It's off of this map here, but it's about 3.5 kilometers to the south of the Thesis Corridor. Again, one of our organic targets that we made a discovery on. Similarly, really good results, has about 8 to 10 holes into it now. Won't make it into the resource, but is showing real potential to deliver hundreds of thousands of ounces as we do more work on that target. And then you can probably see on this map as well that, these with the imagery in the background, like these linear features here, basically all of these are just big faults, and these are all prospective targets. We haven't drilled any of them yet. But as I said at the very beginning, this is part of a much larger kind of 40 square kilometer structurally controlled epithermal field. And if you look at a lot of these analogs in South America, Southeast Asia. That's a very common aspect of those type of deposits where you get a lot of the structures carrying mineralization and really a significant footprint to them. The other thing we see here as well, sorry, I've got a bit sidetracked here, but I think it's an important point, is that although the faults control the mineralization, the rocks are layered like this, and they're all volcanic rocks. They're relatively flat lying, but some of the rocks are, a lot more reactive to the fluids, and where those fluids come up the fault, sometimes with those rocks that are more reactive, the fluids and the mineralization can extend out laterally along those various rock units, and that really bulks out the mineralization. And we see that at Thesis 3, we see that at Bonanza, and now that we've identified those specific rock units that can host that what is called stratigraphic mineralization, we're actively targeting those as well.
Well, that's a good clarification point here too, Ewan, is that the part of the reason why Thesis grabs my attention is that again, this that classic example of a working model that continues to bear fruit, right? That when you apply it to other, when you call it fault-controlled areas of interest, you can go drill that, and supported by previous experience, it will come good, and it seems to come good, right? And so you have this, and so that's such a good example there, JK, which lots of good results, expanding area of mineralization. You referenced Steve's Zone potentially having hundreds of thousands of ounces, but not included in the resource estimate. And so I think that people, based on your corporate history, right, the merger with Benchmark, and now then you, I, you know, I think you do need to come to market with a universal updated MRE and PEA. But at the same token, people should realize that that Ranch is, like as you said off the start, is just getting started in terms of not just discoveries, but discoveries that aren't even in a resource, not even inferred yet, and still more to go, right, in terms of fresh ground to drill. So.
No, that's an excellent point. And I think hopefully, as we demonstrated in the Thesis Corridor, all of those zones are open. At the southern end of Thesis 2, 60 meters at 4.5 grams as a step out hole. We've not followed up on that. At Bingo, that footprint is expanding exceptionally well. And there's all the zones that make it into the resource, they're all open, and so there's a potential for them to continue growing. Then, as you said, we have the new targets like JK and Steve, and then we have a slew of other exploration targets that we haven't even tested yet. So, as I said, very much just getting going at Ranch. And honestly, all of the blue sky across both projects is coming from Ranch. I don't think you'll see us do, or I think you'll see us do very little, if any, drilling on the Lawyers project going forward. Not to say that it's not open, it is at depth for sure, but the exploration targets on the Ranch project are much, much stronger than on the Lawyers project.
You have this kind of interesting idea of a, the Benchmark PEA, strong mine plan already, and then you have all that exploration blue sky of Ranch on top of that Lawyers project, right? So kind of a neat 1-2 punch here. But here we are with the Bonanza Ridge Zone, which I think is the fourth of four that I've got highlighted for us for our little package here today. Do you just want to, again, same thing, just talk us through, prior to 2023, the understanding of Bonanza Ridge. I know you'd had a couple of good holes there in previous years. And then what did 2023 serve? How did it expand the footprint? Did you go deeper? Did you, did it extend the strike? What were your successes from 2023 with regards to Bonanza Ridge?
Bonanza Ridge was more of an infill program this year. We wanted to confirm some of the historical drilling that was there to make sure that we had enough confidence in it to be able to use those results in the upcoming MRE. And extremely successful. I think we've demonstrated. You can see the headline hole here. Bonanza 1, 4 meters of 120 grams, including 2 meters of 230 grams gold, and that was from 30 meters downhole. So really strong mineralization right at surface, right in line with a lot of those fantastic historical results from the Bonanza Zone. That gives us a lot of confidence in using those numbers in the upcoming MRE. And the Ridge Zone, that's continued to expand, especially at depth. It's wide open at depth. What we've learned this year is, and what it looks like based on the geochemistry, is that the ridge zone is an offset component of the bonanza zone. They're chemically very geochemically very similar, and it seems like it's the ridge zone is actually just historically it was an elevated part of the bonanza zone, and it's actually just dropped down along some of these big faults to be kind of now adjacent to it. So as you said, continually learning year over year, and that is really benefiting our exploration success.
So I think that maybe I'll get you to switch to the next slide because I think we're at recap. So maybe why don't what's next, right?
I think we've got a number of new targets that aren't even labeled on here. This one over here is a target called Medusa that is looking very promising. There's actually outcrop over here, and it's one of these big, large silica zones. It's never been drilled, shares a lot of the same characteristics. And then I think in one of the press releases we put out very early in the drill campaign last year was from the BV zone. And the BV zone is over here, just slightly to the west of the Thesis structural corridor. But that it was historically one of the areas that they mined, and where most of the ounces came from. But the southern extension of that, in terms of geophysics and geochem, extends for about a kilometer to the south, and it's called the Ring Zone. That looks excellent. We've not drilled that yet, but very much looking forward to getting in there as well.
Boilerplate classic. Just, what are your 2024 plans? Because you are in this stage now of this mineral resource estimate due out, weeks, somewhat almost imminently, and then a PEA soon after that as well. Do you want to? Ultimately, I want to talk to you about further drilling because Ranch has so much upside remaining on it. But what? How do you kind of marry these two things? Right. This is where what your marriage of a developing company, a PEA stage with a with an early stage exploration, how do you balance those things? And then just we'll leave it there, right? How do you balance them, and what do we have coming down the track for us here in 2024?
Yeah, I mean, great point. And MRE is going to be in very imminent, as you said, a few weeks' time. After that, we're looking at new metallurgical work. So both Ranch and Lawyers have had metallurgical work in the past, but there's a big program underway at the moment to see how we can marry those two assets together. I don't see there being any problems there, really. I just see the addition of a flotation circuit to the existing flow sheet on the Lawyers project. And actually, I think what you might see from that is silver recoveries at Lawyers improving as a result of the flotation circuit being added. So should have some strong results on that in May time frame. And all of that will feed into what will be that new PEA in early Q3 sometime. But we're very much on track to meet those deadlines. And that is right in line with the guidance that I gave, post-merger. We put together that very strategic plan of drill campaign that was very focused, deep drilling at Lawyers to define what will be an underground mineable resource, and then at Ranch, near surface, targeting near surface high grade mineralization. I think the drill program was a big success. At the same time, I mentioned that that would feed into a new MRE early Q2. We're on track, on budget for that. And then new metallurgical work in the kind of May timeframe, PEA, August, September. So I think, we're ticking off these milestones. We're very much going in the right direction. Now, what does our drill program look like for 2024? I think, as I hinted, you won't see any drilling coming on the Lawyers project, but at Ranch, a lot of potential there. It's kind of a balancing act, as you said. I mean, we one thing I think the project does, or the project that's overlooked on these projects, is that they're a lot more advanced than they get credit for. I mean, you mentioned PEA level. The nice thing here is, though, that when we put out this new resource in a few weeks' time, a lot of it is going to be M&I. There's going to be a very small inferred component, and all of that, really, that inferred mineralization is really going to be at Ranch. Now, what does that mean going forward? Just that we to go to feasibility or pre-feasibility, we don't have to come back to market and raise a ton of capital to upgrade components of the deposit to M&I. So we don't have to do another 100,000 meters of drilling to get it to the feasibility level. So that means no further dilution to investors to do a huge drill program. On top of that, all of the baseline work is now complete on the lawyers project at Ranch. It'll be complete by the end of this year or very nearly complete. And those are huge capital endeavors that are basically behind us now as well. And typically we're a bit ahead of schedule doing that work with the PEA, but that's fantastic for the company now because we have that effectively under our belt. Also, all the engineering, geochem, geotech work on the lawyers project is complete to feasibility level. Again, those are big ticket items that where the work is already complete. And at Ranch, we're catching up there a little bit, but it's not going to cost us a lot of capital. So all of that is very, very positive for existing shareholders, where we a lot of the capital expenditure to get to feasibility level is basically behind us. Now, what that means is that we can focus on potentially the blue sky here at Ranch, and I think, as I said, it's a balancing act. We can see how the market reacts to the resource and, some other catalysts that we have coming down the pipeline, some of which I can't talk about right now. And also, hopefully gold equities continue the trend of reconnecting to the price of gold. And that will in part dictate what the summer program looks like. Right now, I have a number of different scenarios with varying degrees of drilling associated with them. And budgets around those. I don't have a concrete answer right for you right now, but I think as we get closer to the summer, we'll lay out our definitive plans to as to what that summer program will look like.
The story continues to develop, right? Like you say, kind of above ground in the boardroom and below ground too, in terms of exploration. And so, I mean, yeah. So, 2024 resource estimate, PEA, and further kind of the exciting, the blue sky potential drilling on Ranch. I like that too. Ewan Webster, Thesis Gold. Thanks for your time, Ewan, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Matthew. Pleasure.